It's another episode.
We're back.
Of She Does Stand Up 2 with Matthew Broussard.
And Laura Sogar.
It's our first video episode.
I don't know where we're going to go with this video. Maybe we'll put some clips on the old Insta.
I resent
maybe throw them on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't like that I have to look decent during the day. I look frumpy all day. I look like a frazzled ant until 8 p.m. every day.
I don't wear pants.
Yeah.
I'm on Zoom.
I don't wash my hair.
Just like boobs up.
Yeah.
Boobs up, presentable. Boobs down, just vibes.
Yeah, like an anchorman.
I don't have to put pants on.
Boobs hanging out the bottom.
Yeah. Under boob.
Underboob. That's a stylish look. That's a good way to make a sale.
Yeah. Listen, I probably would sell something. Maybe not software.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be in Indianapolis on Friday, November 6th. November 5th. That's... And then going to be in Iowa, Des Moines on November 12th.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to be in Arnold Park, Iowa on November 13th. And then we're going to be in Reykjavik.
Yeah.
November 25th.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to bomb.
Check out Broussard.live. And if you happen to be listening to this podcast from Iceland, we will be doing a show there.
We'll buy you a drink.
I will buy you dinner.
Yeah.
I will literally buy you. It's an open invite. If you know people.
Kronar, which is crazy expensive.
It's expensive there. Like, this is not an offer. Listen, I have to earn my
Bjork, key. If you're listening.
Point is, we are going to Iceland for Thanksgiving because it costs the same to go fly us to Iceland as it does to go to Fort Myers, Florida. So.
Yeah, did you know that it's not expensive because did you know the Icelandic people don't celebrate Thanksgiving? An American holiday that's propaganda to cover up our genocide? Did you know they don't actually celebrate that?
Which is why we are going there holiday? To share Thanksgiving with them and explain to them why it's very important they begin celebrating.
Yes.
Specifically at our show on November
25th. With a large cornucopia and a pilgrim hat. We're going to
spread like the Delta variant, you know? That's too much. I did just get the booster shot. Because Johnson & Johnson apparently was just water.
Like, you just got the boot like an hour ago. So your energy is going to taper over the course of this episode.
You're going to watch me get side effects from the vaccine. Literally, you can watch it because we are filming this.
20 minutes in, an ice pack is going to appear on her head.
Just
and a thermometer.
Bright red.
She's going to be wearing a robe.
I'll be fine. I'm a little bitch.
So you've been to Mexico, your first international travel.
Went to Mexico City.
Thinking you would find comedy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to go down there. You know, I don't have anything going on. I weirdly had a free week in New York. And that like literally never happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that and I was like, holy shit. And my friend, my very dear friend, Andrea, was down there. And I was like, I am going to go meet up with her. She'd been there for a month. So I did that whole thing where she's like one of my most stylish, cool friends. So she'd been like, you know, sourcing all the hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, I'm just going to go ride her, like, you know, coattails.
Yes.
Flew down there, got an Airbnb, brought Password, the cat, because I am apparently not a white lady enough. I was like, bring the cat. Which is not that hard to do,
Un gato. Yes.
Contrasueña, that is Password. But he's a male, so contrasueño.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is Password a feminine word, usually?
Unsure, but just listen.
How much harder must this whole gender expression movement be in languages with gendered nouns and verbs?
Well, listen.
Just think about that yesterday. I was
really hoping to see some cavity to be able to... You know,
hear the commentary.
Yeah, I need
from
it
the people who
are most
willing to give it and least qualified to give it. Comedians.
Comedians, yeah. It's like, why do I listen to you? Oh, you literally are on stage and I'm here having a nice meal and you've decided to do comedy in front of me. Point is, I decided that I wanted to go down there for about a week in which I flew down with the cat, contacted some friends who live in Mexico or, you know, had been in Mexico City before. And they hooked me up with these very nice people down there who were comedians. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to like, do any shows. And they're like, okay, we have like one English language show a month. And I was like, oh, yeah, Spanish.
Spanish. You're not in, I mean, this isn't a
this isn't
Cozumel. It's like, it's central Mexico.
This is the capital of Mexico. And I am this stupid American bitch walking down there just like, right. Wait, but why isn't there a language? Why is there no English?
It's for me. Make things for me.
Stand-up comedy, which isn't even like a huge thing here. Why no English?
Yeah. I mean, Aruba has it. They speak Spanish in Aruba. Yeah, it has to be a tourist trap.
It has to have tourists. Like,
Reykjavik.
Which is why we will be. But what if we get there and they're like, yeah, it's an Icelandic, you idiots. You don't speak it.
No, they sent me messages in English.
We'll find out. Yes.
But they don't use contractions. So the two people who have messaged me are speaking in English, but they don't use contractions, which I want to figure out if that is also a spoken thing. I sent a message being like, hi, is anyone available? And they replied, what is up?
It's just angry.
A little jarring.
You're like,
I can't even do their accent. I don't know what their accent
would sound
like.
I couldn't tell you. We will know soon, though.
How did people on the plane react to Password?
On the way there, obsessed. They loved him. They couldn't have been more of a fan. On the way back, still obsessed, with one notable exception. There's like, Password is hypoallergenic, so I can understand people who have allergies being like, and I'm like, he's hypoallergenic. I get you probably don't believe me, but like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, people always like take it as like some kind of test.
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm like, don't worry, he's hypoallergenic. Like, no, I'm really allergic.
And I'm like,
they always think they're going to beat him.
I also want to let you know, I paid money for him to be on here. And unfortunately, he's like, I don't care. I don't know what, like,
yeah.
Me knowing you are going to have the sneezes, that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Like, that ship has sailed. Yeah. Take it up with Delta Airlines, who has this as a policy. Anyway, so reason I bring this up is on the way
not
home.
Not as a service animal, by the way. They got rid of that. So you have to just pay.
I paid
fucking
no money.
Yeah.
I paid a substantial amount of money.
Some money.
To bring him. Because I was like, well, Matthew can't come with me. So he's the cheapest date I've ever had. I'll bring this cat. He just sat happily in the Airbnb. I took him to a bar one night. It was
he gross. Flies well now.
Yeah.
You can just put him in
but
your lap.
On the way home, this lady said that he was disgusting. And I almost...
Disgusting.
I almost fought her. And then I... Only reason I didn't, and this reminded me that I do have empathy, is I was like, if I fight this woman on this plane, the flight attendants will have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
This will be on them. And that's not cool.
How did the flight attendants react to this?
They
woman?
Were so kind. They kept coming up to me and they were like, we are so sorry. Are you okay? That is unacceptable behavior on her part. Like, we have your back 100%. And I was like, I'm not going to fight this bitch because of y'all, because I love you, but I want to.
Why was she being such a C word?
She was being a cunt because she didn't like Password. She didn't like cats.
And I was like, she like couldn't get upgraded or something.
Oh, well, there was also that. She was sitting in first class and she wanted her husband. Of course she was. I was just in measly comfort plus, which I'm
platinum status. So
yeah, I do fly a lot for work. It used to be for work, and I've just milked those points. Like, anyway, doesn't matter. Point being, she was being a huge C word, wanted to get her husband upgraded, could not. So then she decided to go sit right behind me, where the disgusting cat was, and was just a huge bitch the whole time, and
Joy in her heart.
No joy in her heart.
You can hate Password.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just being like perfect at her. Anyway, that's a little off topic of stand up. But point is, I had a great time. Mexico City is absolutely incredible. If you're going for stand up, definitely check ahead when you plan your trip, because they have those English language shows about once a month. But I did meet a lot. I actually met some of the people who do stand up down there. Like, I had drinks at one point, and it was really, really cool because there's a, you know, like, it's growing, like, as a scene down there, I guess. It's a huge, really cool city that has very Brooklyn energy, to be perfectly honest.
Hmm.
So we had a delightful time, and it's extremely cheap. So it's about $3 to Uber anywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, check that out.
Yep. Well, not with me, because I just went, so...
Yeah.
Matt takes a solo trip with Password as well. I'm like, what the hell?
Same ladies on the flight.
Yeah. She's like, son of a bitch, this cat. Who are you?
El gato.
Canto El gato. Sueño.
Cool. Where have I been? I've been in, I guess since we last, I've been San Francisco, Vegas, D.C.,
You've
Minneapolis.
Been all over the place.
You've yeah, it's my first
well,
weekend
in town.
Well,
that's part of the reason I was like, fuck, I'm here by myself. I have nothing going on. I could, like, you know, do
You're
stuff.
You're like a
but
military wife.
Yeah.
For your
When will he come
husband
back
to
from
go
the
back
war?
From hawking t-shirts in the Midwest.
Those damn t-shirts. We're like a t-shirt factory here.
Yeah, I have four different designs now. I had a design just for Texas.
You really should put these online. They're really good.
I'm just too lazy to set up a shop. I'm also afraid someone's just going to steal the design and I have no legal recourse. Okay. Yeah, anyone know anything about how to how to defend myself against someone? I guess they'll just do it anyway. Where have I been? I had a couple weeks ago. So I'm like really bad with faces now. It was like I'm bad with names and good with faces. I'm bad at both. I don't remember anyone except from I can remember people I met before I started doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the Cellar on a Saturday night and I finished my set and I was sitting in front of the Cellar and I got high. As I was sitting there on the street, I hear a girl say, "Matthew."
We have street dining and stuff like that now.
Yeah.
So.
I hear a girl say, "Matthew," and I turn and look. And it's this girl named Marissa, who I went to high school and college with and hadn't seen her many years, with her boyfriend. And I'm so excited to see her. I run up to her and I give her a hug. And I ask her, I said, "Oh, are you coming to any of the shows?" She goes, "No, we've always wanted to see you live." I was like, "Did you ever see me back in Houston?" She goes, "Houston?" I go, "Yeah, in college." She goes, "I never lived in Houston." I was like, "Wait, didn't we go to high school and college together?" She goes, "No, we just watched your stand-up online, and I've always wanted to see you perform."
Wait, so she wasn't Marissa?
No, she wasn't Marissa. She was just this random girl. So from her perspective, her and her boyfriend were walking down the street. They see a comedian they recognize from the internet.
Oh,
they say
God.
His name, and he jumps out of his chair and runs up and hugs the girl in front of her boyfriend like a psycho. So I need to get less excited about remembering faces.
Yeah, that is.
Isn't that so funny?
Oh my God, that girl! You probably caused a fight.
No, they were very. I explained it all that I was high,
and you were high.
They
okay,
were
you're
they
high.
Were weirdly cool with it, but I apologized. What else is? Oh, my Comedy Central set came out.
Yeah, and
which
it did.
Please watch the YouTube version, the full length version. It's 8 minutes long. I've been posting clips from it. I had one clip that did very well on Comedy Central's Instagram and TikTok. And it was just a short bit about millennials and Gen Z and gay marriage. I encourage you to check it out. And a couple days after it came out, I got a message from someone who liked the set saying, "Hey, I listened to Adam Devine's podcast, and it sounds like he did your joke here." And I remembered that Adam Devine had liked that clip on my page.
I remember that.
And so I went to go listen to the episode because a lot of people are like, "Oh, this guy stole your joke." And it's like, no, the parallel thought happens. Isaac Newton and Gottfried Leibniz came up with calculus simultaneously.
Two famous stand-up comedians.
Two very funny people came up with calculus independent of each other. So, yes, someone else might have your Tinder joke or your Spirit Airlines joke. So I listened to it, and I try to really give a long leash. It was very much, very similar language, very similar. Uh-huh. And it was just, it wasn't him doing a joke. It was just him talking
on
the podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast, which is tough because
and
it's stream of consciousness.
It very much sounded like he had heard this idea, forgot that he heard it, and was kind of reiterating without realizing where he got it from, which
yeah.
is the thing we've
which is something
all
I'm,
done.
Like
right?
90% of my life, I'm pretty sure, is just me doing that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, every idea
I'm
I have.
I'm just a nice mirror for the funny people around me.
Every joke I write, I'm like, who did I steal this from?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I just torture myself for days
yep.
trying to remember where I got
absolutely.
It from. But this was just, again, conversational. So I run it by a couple friends being like, do these sound similar? And the answer was, it sounds like very much that.
Well, what was funny, too, is that we were in Vegas when this all occurred.
You were with me in Vegas.
I was with you in Vegas because I remember like earlier we had been like, oh, like, you know, just happened to pull up Instagram and Adam Devine had liked it. And you were like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I sent you a screenshot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, Adam Devine gave me my very first TV credit.
Right.
He
that's
picked
why
me
it was
for Adam Devine's house party on Comedy Central when I had no representation. I was just a local comic in Texas.
So it was
so the guy
kind of a
made
cool,
my career.
Cool full circle moment.
Yes.
You're like, oh, my God, Adam Devine. And then cut and to a few days later, you were like, am I losing it? And I was like, dude, that's your fucking joke.
Yeah, and it was
dude, that is your joke for sure.
I had no idea how to handle it because he's so funny. And he's
awesome.
So nice. He's just a really
awesome.
Great guy.
I mean,
and
I don't know him, but he seems awesome.
Crazy famous. He's as cool as you'd hope.
Good.
So I sent a very polite message.
You handled it well.
All I said was, hey, I heard you were talking about my joke on your podcast. Would love a shout out. And he came back with the most thought. I don't know if he has like a team, but he came back yeah, with the most thoughtful reply. It was like funny. And he was like, my bad. I didn't mean da da da. You're definitely right. It was just, it reminds me of how cool people can be and how professional comedians can be. And I guilted him into giving me a shout out on his podcast. And people came and listened to my clip. And then people liked his version better. So,
karma. You called him out. He apologized, and he still get he comes
better
still
delivery.
Came out on top. What are you gonna
do? What do you do?
Nice work, sir.
Yeah, but
that was really funny because that's such an awkward scenario.
It's so awkward. I've had someone call me out on it. Should I say his name? It was a case. Somebody who's been on this podcast. Heard me do a joke, and he was like, hey, the wording you're using at the ending is very similar to a wording I have. I wanted to let you know that I've been doing this joke for a little while, so if you hear me do it, I didn't steal it from you. And he knew I had heard him tell that joke, so I don't know what – I don't think he was telling me to drop the joke, but I was like, you're right. I heard you do that, and I borrowed your wording without realizing I was doing it, and then I dropped that wording and then changed the ending angle of the joke. But it was, I'm sure he probably deliberated in a weird way
yeah,
how to message that. But it was
very, very awkward. My only
it's awkward. I'm glad he said something. I'd rather be called out on it. If especially such a, it was a provable case. I watched that set. I commented on that joke in person. So he remembered it. And I'm glad he called it out because I'd rather the tension be.
So you would recommend calling it out, but in a polite way?
Calling, I mean, if you can prove.
Right.
They heard you do it and then started doing their version of it.
It's so awkward.
Leave it alone. Usually just leave it. Usually it's not worth confronting.
I had this happen. Because
it's only going to make that person resent you forever, no matter how good of a case they build.
No.
And then God forbid.
So you think Adam Devine resents you forever now?
No.
Uh-oh.
No, I don't think so. But that was a podcast and not a stand-up.
That's because true. Yeah, stand-up is different because the thing is that it's so, like, repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. You know Luke? We have a friend of ours who's a DJ, Luke, and
not that DJ Luke. Oh, no, Dr. Luke. Never mind. Dr. Luke's a DJ.
He's not Dr. Luke. No.
Okay.
And he DJs a lot of his comedy shows, and he's always like, you guys just, like, no, like, I don't like, I feel like I see the same stuff a lot. And it's hard for me to tell him, like, yeah. Like
from us or from each other?
Everyone. Like, all the comedians as
a
whole do a
lot
of repeat.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Individually or, like, this person and this person talk about the same
thing? No. Individually.
Yes.
And I'm like,
oh, yes.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's Groundhog's Day.
But this poor guy, like, if you don't know that and he's just comedy, like, adjacent and like working in it in the sense of like DJing for the shows, but he just happens to DJ enough, like, you know, it's New York City, you're gonna see people do the same shit. And I'm like, you likely don't pick up the difference that happened, but there was some small difference every time. And I remember he saw me do the same joke a couple times, didn't work. Then he finally was DJing one of my shows recently and the joke did work. And he was like, the joke went so much better that time. And I was like, okay,
slight variation,
kind of fuck you, but also
yeah. I
was like, yeah, that's because I did it 35 million times beforehand, and the version you finally saw was everything clicked and it finally came together.
Yeah, so many iterations. What did you think of watching me shift wording slightly, because you would watch my set so many times before you did comedy? Did you understand? Does it make more sense now? Or did you already always understand it?
I kind of got it back then too. I think because I was I always relate things back to swimming, and it's like, just Laura, there's more to life.
No, but it's a great example because swimming
really
is unnatural.
Well, swimming, there's, I mean, talk about repetition. Are you kidding?
Repetition.
You do it over and over, and it's slight differences in technique or specifically in race pace stuff. You're doing slight, like, hey, let me split. a little faster out front and see if I can bring it home.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's different, but it's
and
like
most of what you're doing right becomes subconscious.
Right.
Which is what has to happen in stand-up. If you think about trying to do everything correctly at once, you'll fall apart.
It'd be like, well, why don't you just go swim a best time? And you're like, well, bitch, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to best swim a best time when the time is right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why I had a better appreciation for it. And Luke, I explained that to him and he was like, oh, it makes sense. Yeah. So he like got there. But like, I was just like, it was funny because I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of a whole thing that we do.
Right.
You're going to see a lot of the same. That does not mean they are a bad comedian.
Yes. That's and like my summary of stand-up comedy is we're talking, right?
Yeah.
And what do they say about talking? Talk is cheap.
Cheap. It's
and
cheap.
We're trying to sell it. So how good does our talking have to be for people to pay for it? So think about that. The refinement of our language. There is the set of possible things you can say that make sense versus the set of things that are funny enough to say on stage and interesting enough. It's infinitesimal. It is It is an infinitesimal subset. So our job is to really locate that exact wording and phrasing and delivery that is somehow not boring because your eyes are glazing over as I even say this.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you said infinitesimal and my brain was like, I don't care.
I think I might have used it incorrectly, as I do a lot.
Yeah, it's fine. Just confidence in your delivery. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. That's the Moderna hitting me.
Yes, it is. We were talking about DJs.
Oh, before we talked about Luke, and who is a fantastic DJ, please hire him and put him in your gigs. And if you run a nightclub, you should have him DJ. But secondarily, I remember one of the only times, not the only times, like the first time I ever saw someone do a similar joke to me, it was the exact same joke. And it was
and
at a mic.
And they stole it.
And they stole it, and their name is blah. Yeah. No, it was like, remember that?
It was a low-hanging fruit joke.
Low-hanging fruit. And I was like 3 months into comedy, and it was like, but it was like a joke that actually got people to laugh. So I was like, can you look at this shit? I made a joke that made
it's
laughter.
So hard to give them, it's so hard to give it up once you've been doing it for a while, and then you realize it's easy.
I literally was sitting in the crowd, and I heard her start to do the joke, and it had the same twist. And I was like, there's a chance she's seen me do that. There's a chance I've seen her do that years ago. I have no idea.
And there's a great chance that you both came up with it on your own.
Either
like
way,
calculus.
That was, I have never since then done that. That joke
good
went
for
away.
You.
Threw that joke away. I was like, well, and I had the advantage of having like known you at that point and knowing like, hey, anything I write in these first few months is probably, you know, a steaming pile of shit. And that's totally fine.
Or if it gets a laugh, it's something you've heard and didn't realize you're
borrowing
it.
Or it's hack or it's whatever. And that's totally fine. And like,
you can't tell a new comic that though. That was the hard part about watching you start is being like, oh, for the first year, anything you say that's going to get a laugh, it's probably been done or you picked up.
That's not entirely fair.
Not entirely true.
That's part of the reason I think that like the stuff when I started writing more about myself very personally.
Yeah.
Then I was like, good luck fucking stealing that.
Yeah.
Or do, I don't know, like, that's my life.
That.
I'm going to continue to,
I have so many jokes about you. I've mined your life for
know,
my act.
Stop.
Yeah, I know.
Actually,
now
no,
you're doing
don't.
A joke about my mom. I'm like, oh, she's getting in my world now.
I know. That'll be fun.
That's going to be fun.
I'm going to be very careful about
that. I think Anne Broussard has enough material for both of our acts.
For two comedians.
And then I'll start doing Susan.
Mother-in-law in training.
I do jokes about your parents. Holy shit. That's
good luck.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
My mom doesn't
They'll
give a fuck
you.
What you say about her.
No, I get that. You know who will? Mike and Susan Sogar.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
will. His balls just went into his stomach.
Rocket scientist and
German psychologist.
German psychologist. Ooh. All right.
Good luck. What else has been up? So I feel like in terms of performance, like I've been doing shows around town. I've been trying to go to some more mics, which has been good because it forces me to write new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Been trying to like hang out with new groups, like the people that I don't know as well, which has not been fun. I'm gonna be honest. It's kind of interesting because we're back to the stage like that I felt before the pandemic where like the different cliques and stuff like that. And
we're starting to resettle.
It's really, which is so pure. We're finally, you know, all getting back in our lanes. But
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, before, during the pandemic, everyone was just so happy to see anyone who did comedy, period. Yes. You know? And I remember I've gone to a couple things now where I was just like, I don't fit in here. And that's okay. But I haven't felt that in a while. So it was interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, going to some more mics, trying not to just stick to only Manhattan or only ones with that are run by my friends or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't even know if that's worth doing or not, but it's something I'm trying. We went to Bridgeport. Remember, that was a fun thing. I don't think we've talked about that.
Laura came to do a guest spot on my show and she bombed.
Okay. I did. Yeah. I did bomb. I bombed really hard.
Nah, I wouldn't. It was just
see him
quiet.
Back. He's backpedaling.
Nah,
so
I just
got to
get an interesting.
He's like, I would like
no,
to.
No, that's just
have
like the Instagram caption. We can like, just like, Laura bombed. And then we start the clip with that and then reveal that it was a bad crowd. Not for me.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
I got him.
So to be fair,
my name's on the marquee. They came
this
to
doesn't
me.
Mean that the. Okay, well, listen, it was a pretty jarring experience. I remember I drove up to Bridgeport. Was all excited. I was like, I get to do. Matthew finally invited me to guest spot
on the road. I'm like, yeah,
spot on the road. It's not that far away, but it was far enough. Get up there, and I'm like, hell yeah! And I'm like, Connecticut. I know Connecticut. It's not even that far. And then it turns out Bridgeport is not a Brooklyn energy whatsoever.
No, working class vibes.
Yeah, I'm sure lovely people, but they did not enjoy
me. Yeah, all 17 of them. Small crowd.
Yeah, well, it was like Matt didn't give me like the primetime show. He gave me like the last show. Yeah.
It was the Sunday. Well, that's typical of the Thursday-Sunday shows on a weekend. They're the hardest shows for the openers and they're the easiest shows for the headliners.
Okay. Because I did not know that going in and I wasn't like, fuck you. I'm getting played over here. He's like, free ride home. Yeah. Come do a guest spot.
Yeah. That was truly the motivation. Saved me $40. It's so easy to get to Connecticut. It's like, I think it's $20 on the train.
Oh, well, either
but
way.
You saved me that.
I saved him $20. I went up there and I just ate a dick for like 8 minutes or whatever. I asked the crowd at the end if they had a personality. They didn't.
Yeah, but it was fun watching you because
I got antagonistic. I was like, I'm so over this.
You perform a little bigger usually, and it was fun to see you scale back the performance of it to the crowd.
I was like, if you're not going to try, neither am I. And then I was like, who do you think you are, Laura?
Yeah, at some point you scolded them. And the wait staff, that's always a bad sign. The wait staff and the comics were laughing more than the crowd.
Dude, they liked me, though.
They did like you.
Wait, why is that a bad sign?
No, it means
guys,
the crowd
you're watching
can't
me just get roasted right now.
It's a bad.
And you're watching me because we're filming.
It's not a bad sign for you. It's a bad sign. It means the crowd has bad taste because the wait staff should be harder to make laugh because they watch a lot of comedy, as should the comedians. So.
All right. Well,
you listen. Did well, and I was. No, I was
do
proud
you see
of you.
How much of a we've really gone full circle here?
No, it's so much. So many. There's so many nights in comedy where you can't win, but the thing you can do is hold your dignity while the crowd's not laughing. Because there will be nights that they don't laugh. There will be nights when they don't speak your language. It's gonna happen in Iceland. Just wait.
Oh, well, maybe literally.
The important part is to not get in your head and not be analyzing what you're doing wrong, because then that shows through in your body language. Or if you can hide it, bravo, but just to still manage to have fun.
Well, to be fair, I think that actually was a pretty big step forward for me, because I even though I was eating shit, mm-hmm. I did have fun. Mm-hmm. And it was because I realized, like, the night before I had done two shows in New York, one in Manhattan, one in Brooklyn, and I, like, not to pat myself on the back, but did quite well on them. Mm-hmm. And I can only say that because you now know that I just ate shit for 8 minutes. So I'm not a terrible comedian. Maybe, who knows? Point is, I was just like, oh, okay, like I'm confident enough that I can make maybe not this group of people laugh right now, but people in general. So, you know, whatever. It's going to happen.
The thing.
But I haven't really had that before.
No?
No.
I think
confidence is what I'm saying.
There's comedians that I've just not liked as people or their act, and then I'll see them
What's
bomb.
What's the list? Let's hear some names.
And then I'll see them bomb, and I'll be like, oh, I like them now. If you can see someone bomb, like seeing someone bomb, I think is what bonds comedians. You always tell stories about the night that person ate it. I mean, watch that documentary where Colin Quinn went up in Boston and they booed him just because he had a New York accent. I'm sure that endeared him to other comedians.
Yeah, no, probably did. That's so cool.
Yeah, you can't just win every time. I mean, you want to impress the crowd every time, but that's not always possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely did not impress that crowd. There was also a kid there.
Yeah, that was weird. 14?
Yeah, like a child.
With his parents?
And I was like, I'm going to talk about...
That created some tension in the room.
I'm sure that probably... Well, listen, that was definitely not the only obstacle your girl mm-hmm. was dealing with. Then the worst part is Matt goes up and they love him.
Because they were Jewish. They were Jewish, so I did my Jewish jokes and that got them. And since they were three people, once they started laughing, it started spreading to the tables around them. And then it built up, so I actually had like... a real reaction from the crowd by the end of it. But if you strategically target the people who are laughing the most, their laughter will spread. Something I've learned more recently.
Fair enough. Listen, I was 0 for 17. So,
I got banned from a bar show in Minneapolis.
Wait, what?
I told you this. I went and did an open mic after Acme on Thursday. I went and did an open mic, and it was a grittier open mic.
Oh,
it was all comics.
Right.
It was in the back of a bar where there was already a lot of noise. It was like that open mic where all the comics come to and you tell jokes for your friends. There were some people. Three people from my show came to the open mic. There were three locals, all former swimmers who came to the show. Were really cool. And I told them about like, yeah, it was like if you're bored and want to go watch some like very interesting comedy, go to the open mic. Because if you're a non-comedian who goes to open mics, you're a little sick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
You're probably going to try stand-up at one point.
That's also true.
Yeah.
So there was a small crowd back there, and I went up, and I got a positive reaction from the room, probably just because they knew I was the headliner in town, and they wanted me to like them, so that might have helped
my set.
Maybe
it's because you're funny,
but
whatever.
I said a naughty word on stage, and I finished my set, which got a positive reaction. And then as
to be fair,
I said
not
it twice,
like the N-word or anything
not
like
N-word.
That. To be
no. But
I don't want people being like, wait, what?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that one. And then as I was leaving the bar, like 20 minutes later, I was leaving the bar. The bartender goes, I just want to let you know that your jokes were disgusting and you're not allowed back here.
Just like Password.
She did say disgusting. Yes.
She said he was disgusting. You, oh God, I love disgusting things, I guess.
It's funny, the word disgusting doesn't even hurt
disgusting.
My feeling with regard to jokes. I was like, that's not really a word for jokes. If you've been like hack or trite or predictable, I would have been like, ow. But I'm like, disgusting. I'm like, well, that's a weird adjective. Use pizza words, like the Nikki Glaser
God,
joke.
God, I think of that joke so much.
It's such a good joke. Yeah, and then I kind of debated her and then backed down, and then turns out she didn't work there. She was just subbing in, so I think I would be welcome back at that bar show.
Son of a bitch. Matthew might not be doing this open mic in Minneapolis again.
It was a very funny
because
moment.
Because he's a disgusting man.
I've had also so much confrontation since the pandemic over jokes, more than ever before, just a couple incidents. Where I've become just a lightning rod for like,
which is so weird because I feel like
my act is
safe. Your act is so safe. I know so many people who just openly use these words to kind of like get a reaction,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like yours are always done with context around them. Where
right.
it's like
I have a joke
concept,
about being called that word.
The concept exactly, which is like an important distinction.
Well, people are probably guessing what word it is. I can't
you have
wait.
To wait. Is that set out? Is that in the set?
No, I've never said that word on camera.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now I don't know what the word is. I'm
sure.
Like,
okay.
I'll go through the alphabet.
It's Voldemort.
Like,
I said Voldemort on stage.
No.
Yeah. Muggles hate it when you say it. I also said muggle.
Oh my God.
Yes. So, Cool.
Well, come see Matthew live and specifically send him a note requesting that joke ahead.
Yeah, sometimes it gets too big of a reaction. I'm like, uh-oh, that's not the laugh I was looking for.
Wait, what the fuck is the word? Now, all right, we got to end this podcast because I want to figure out, I need to get off air and figure out what he's talking
all right.
about.
Well, next
but,
time we'll say it.
I mean, did you have anything else to say?
No, come see me in Indianapolis this Friday or in Iowa.
Or in Iceland.
Wait, this Friday, November 6th, 2021. Who knows when people listen.
Year of our
or
Lord.
In Iceland. Or I'm going to be in, where else am I going? Fargo. I'm in Fargo
Check
in January.
Check out his website because he just makes shit up. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I'm over here just listening to your...
I'm going to be in Walla Walla, Washington. Thanks so much.
Bye.